The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Thanks for listening to All Pro Lines, the podcast. I am your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. We were going to be joined by our old friend, Brian Miller, but he had a little family thing. And so we were lucky enough, fortunate enough to get Chris Bowers to jump in here and talk to us today about the weekend that was in the NFL, week 10. I just got, you can see, if you're watching, you can see I'm wearing a ridiculous shirt. This was a gift to me by the owner and operator of the gig I did on Thursday night. Brought me on stage and gave me this preposterous shirt, and I love it so much. It's cheesy. It's cheesy as hell. It's got gradient. I'm standing up a little. Oh yeah, it's nice. It's kind of polyester-y. Wore it all day Sunday at the game with my brother on his birthday, watching the Falcons flounder around and lose to the Arizona Cardinals in Phoenix. Those teams are not good. Neither one of those teams are good. But it was great, man, to be there with my bro and wander around and catch the scene of what's going on. We have a tradition. We try to go to one away Falcons game a season. We've done it a few times now. So it's good. I'm going to keep this tradition going. We had some close games. We had a couple upsets. We had a lot of fun in the NFL this weekend. Let's dive in here, do some jokes, and we'll talk to our boy Bowers here in a few.
The 2-minute drill.
Michigan's Jim Harbaugh suspended from coaching for the rest of the regular season games for stealing signs. I have a lot of questions about this, but my first one is, can we get the Falcons coach to steal some signs? I'm not even sure the Falcons have signs at this point. If the Falcons have a sign, it's probably slow children at play. Could be dead end. Might be warning, choking hazard. That would be a good sign for the danger, demolition in progress. You see, these are the signs. I need a sign in my apartment that says root for a better team. The coach's dad founded FedEx. The owner founded Home Depot. How long does it take the Falcons to deliver a rebuild? For the love of God, let's get it together. Arthur Smith's dad owns FedEx. I wish he owned Mayflower. Time to ship this team somewhere far away. Another ugly game, primetime Sunday. New York is, of course, the city that never sleeps, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But when the Jets play the Raiders, it combines to, I haven't slept, and I don't care what happens here. That game was ugly. It's borderline anti-American to cheer for the Patriots' loss in Germany on Veterans Day weekend, but I think my grandfather would forgive this one. Thank goodness the Patriots did better in Germany in 1944 than they did this week. Oof. Shame, too. Bill Belichick loses in the one country that might appreciate his sense of humor. In Germany, Belichick's considered one of the great comedians. Bill Belichick, or as the Germans call him, Der Sleeveless Mensch. All right. Travis Kelce's in Argentina seeing his girlfriend right now. It's a good choice. I find relationships do well when the partners are willing to go south for each other. It's nice. In honor of Veterans Day weekend, Panthers fans wore camouflage paper bags. You can rewatch the Bears-Panthers Thursday night game on NFL Plus, you know, if you hate yourself. If you click on that game, emergency responders should be sent to your house. That is a cry for help. They say losing builds character. The Panthers have built more characters than Stephen King at this point. But unlike Stephen King, they're not at all scary. I think that book, Misery, it's about being a Panthers fan. the Carolina team should call themselves the Cougars because Cougars can score whatever they want. See, that's a better branding situation for you guys. Maybe you have a restart everything. The Saints are not good either. The Saints are so bad, Jameis Winston made their best play. Saints whiteout. Michael Thomas threw a brick at a construction worker's truck and roughed him up. He was throwing bricks. Watch the Falcons highlights. Michael Thomas was charged with simple battery, which is always a funny phrase to me. It was supposed to be complicated battery. You know, you build a Rube Goldberg device with a marble that rolls down, sparks a lighter, and burns through a string that's holding back a catapult, launches the brick. That's complicated battery. I'm not defending him, but who amongst us hasn't considered fighting a contractor? The other charge was criminal mischief, which that isn't. That sounds like throwing toilet paper in your neighbor's trees or something. That's not really, a crime exactly. It's criminal mischief. These kids are up to mischief. Ton of close games this week. Also, the Jaguars watched the 49ers play football. 34-3, the Niners beat. Oh, my goodness. Jacksonville got beat so badly, Blake Bortles could feel it. Jacksonville house cats would have put up a better fight than the Jaguars. At least then the Niners would have some scratches. All right. The Giants have become the Washington Generals of the NFL. Every game is entertainment at their expense. The Cowboys should have just started Meadowlark Lemon at quarterback. They should do that water bucket confetti trick with the Gatorade cooler. Someone told me earlier today Meadowlark Lemon is too old a reference. No one will get that. Is that right? Is that too criminy? I think Giants fans need a puppy bowl option every Sunday. Something to watch while the game's on. Maybe a little welcome back Cotter, right? Some reruns. Taxi. There's that DeVito is way better than Tommy DeVito. Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito. This is fun. Lives with his parents. His mom makes his bed, does the laundry, and cooks. Could she throw a tight spiral? Because I think we could maybe, this is like a go-getter kind of woman. I'm starting to suspect he can't make his own bed because he doesn't understand the scheme. It's those fitted sheet corners. It's tricky. Wait, you're telling me an Italian guy lives with his mother and she does everything for him? I never heard of such a thing. All right. See, also Greek guys. Aaron Rodgers said it'll be a few fortnights. Aaron likes to let us know when he learns a new word. He doesn't trust the big science and their fancy days and hours way of measuring time. Fortnights, huh, Aaron? 4 score in 7 months. Four score sounds like a lot for the Jets. I'd take the under. That's probably not going to. The real question is, can they score 4 times in the next 87 years? That's what 4 score in 7 years. That's okay. Fortnights. How many cubits? What are you talking about? Should be measuring time in darkness retreats, 3 or 4 day periods of. The Jets are the most bipolar team. You watch and the defense is like swarming and aggressive and fast and strong. And the offense should come with Benny Hill music. Robert Saleh said it's lazy to blame all the Jets' offensive struggles on Zach Wilson. Well, yes, some of the blame goes to Aaron Rodgers' Achilles and the God Achilles, who seems to have a real stick up his ass this year. Don't worry, his ass is fine. That part of him made it into the magic water. He's fine. all right. JPP said he's interested in joining a contender. Said he's waiting for a phone call. Fingers crossed, buddy. Okay. That's probably enough jokes. Let's check in on the peanut gallery here. Jerry Oliver, Ron Milford, Heather Saigo, Ryan Chambers. Good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. This is nice. Ryan Chambers says, I don't know what Meadowlark Lemon means, but I'm a moron. You're too young, Ryan. That's the cutoff. Jerry Oliver and Ron Milford know who Meadowlark Lemon is. That's the point, I guess. John Riggs, what's up, John? I haven't seen your name in a while. Good to see you, buddy. Getting some time to watch while at work. Cool. all right, let's. You know him, you love him. He's a big, lifelong Bengals fan. He's a great stand-up comic. His best credit is he's the only comic to ever buy a comedy club, then become a good comedian. It's never happened before or since. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Bowers.
Hey, what's up, Kostaki Hayden? You know, the Meadowlark Lemon, I got the reference. I think it's where you sounded old when you said, no one's going to get a Meadowlark Lemon reference? Criminy. It was the criminy that made you sound old.
Criminy made me sound old.
I haven't heard criminy in several decades. So that's where I haven't heard criminy after Meadowlark Lemon reference in very old. Who are the new Globetrotters? Do we know the new Globetrotters? Like, that's how good you have to be as a Globetrotter to be a famous Globe. Like, that's the one guy we know, you know?
That's right.
Now, he was the one, right? They're on Gilligan's Island.
I was going to say, Scooby, they did Gilligan's Island too.
Somehow the Globetrotters showed up on Gilligan's Island at one point.
This is how old I am. When I thought, well, they were on Scooby-Doo. It just seems like that was somewhat recently.
It's when we were children and we were in our 50s. So no, it took a long time.
What's up with you, buddy? You've been out drinking all night? What's going on?
Well, of course. Complicated Battery is very funny. I liked that one. My favorite quote from Sala about Zach Wilson is when he goes, oh, was it his worst game? No, it wasn't even close to his worst game. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
That is a funny quote, actually.
Like, it sounded like a compliment, but it was not at all a compliment. Like, it wasn't his best game. Was it his worst game? Not even close. Have you seen how bad he usually sucks? It was like, fuck. I'll tell you who's good is that CJ Stroud, man. That guy's got it going. That dude.
No kidding. I want to go back in time and have the Falcons play Ritter all season.
The Bengals defense is good. And that dude, you know. Because their offensive line's not good. He moved well. Every time he hit every open guy. I mean, he was good. That guy's gonna be good.
Yeah, I'm kidding. So where are you on your team now? You guys had one of these bump in the road losses that you didn't see coming. Is that significant? Are you not worried at all?
I'm not. I mean, good. The good news is we beat good teams and we lose to mediocre teams, which is what we've done a couple times. At the end of the day, I don't want the bye because the team with the bye usually loses in the first time they get to play anybody, just because I think the bye is counterproductive at this point in the NFL. And then, you know, with 17 games, just go, if you go 9-8, I mean, look at this, our division's so good. It's crazy. But I also think the Browns suck. The Browns are a mirage. I think that it's adorable that people think that Lamar Jackson's going to make it through the whole season. That's hilarious. Kenny Pickett sucks, but I'm not worried about it. I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson goes out week 15, some tweaky knee thing or an ankle or whatever, and then he doesn't play in the playoffs. If I was the Ravens, I wouldn't even start in the first 8 games. I would just sit in the first half of the season just because he's only going to play 12 games a year. Might as well play the end, not the beginning. Stupids, but they don't know what to do. But also, too, I don't think the Bengals, I don't know if you watched the Bengals game at all, but I don't think they used any other plays. I think we just were like, we can beat these guys we don't want to get the Ravens any tape for Thursday. We're just going to, I really think we hold back and we don't play our good shit and we don't care about the opponent.
It's weird, man. It's pro football, you know. It's not like any given Sunday, man. Anything can happen. It's kind of part of the fun of it. But it is surprising to see some of the kind of also ran teams beat good teams. It does seem weird to me. Still jarring.
I mean, that's the great thing. That's the great thing about the NFL is it's so even, you know. I mean, like anybody can, and anybody can go from like, there's teams that are mirages and all of a sudden, no, they won 11 games somehow and they were terrible the whole time, you know, and just however the schedule worked out, it's like, they suck. That team sucks. And somehow they won 11 games and they're in the playoffs. And they get beat real bad the first game or whatever. And you're like, they did suck. We knew that. But they're real good at beating the Jets and whoever else is on their schedule. You know what I mean? Like, the Browns are terrible. The Browns are ostensibly awful. There's no way they have 6 wins.
They have a good defense and a quarterback who used to be good, right?
Well, they're terrible. They're just terrible. But somehow they have 6 wins. It's dumb. It's dumb. I don't. But that's what's fun about the NFL is you can be terrible and still have a good record sometimes.
Right. You know?
That's a fun shirt. I like that shirt. I like the fact that it's got a zipper on it. That's cool. It has your name.
It is ridiculous. As soon as I saw it, I thought, wow, this shirt is preposterous. Chris Bowers would wear this shirt.
Does it say Falcons on the back real big on the back?
It's got the sleeves. It got Falcons on the sleeves.
But the back is
clean. No, the back's kind of plain, but it's gradient on both sides. So it's got Yeah. It's,
one time my mother-in-law, when I was married, get me this Bengals like leather, black leather coat. It had this cool B on it. And in my head, I'm like, oh, don't have a big Bengal head in the back. You know, like those Magic 8-Ball jackets or whatever. And it didn't. To her credit, she didn't get the one with the big fucking Bengal. But I thought for sure it was going to have a big stupid Bengal head on the back and ruin the whole thing. But it didn't. I wore it for a while.
Ewan chimes in here. Curly Neal was a famous Globetrotter at the time. And also added
Ironically, Curly Neal was bald. That was the joke.
That was the fun. Oh, that's comedy, right? When it's a big, huge mobster named Tiny.
Yep. You know, they call me Big Will Dick Bowers. That's a joke. Yeah. But
Chamberlain was a Globetrotter in the 50s. Wow, that's interesting. Heather says, I'm sold. We used to measure road trips in Gilligan's Islands. How much longer? And Dad would say 3 Gilligan shows.
Wow.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm just imagining a recreator in the back of a station wagon because you couldn't watch them at all. You just had to talk about them.
It's funny how you measure these things. In high school, I used to measure value by CDs. How many CDs is that? And in college, I used to measure it by natural lights. Like, oh, that's like 12 natural lights. I'm not paying for that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you ever put things in merch perspective? You're like, oh, that's fucking 8 t-shirts. I can't fucking spend that kind of money on.
Yeah, right. I'm selling koozies all over the place now. It's crazy.
Yeah, what do the koozies say?
They're jokes from my act. The one says, "Would I give up my life for my kids?" Yeah, I did.
That's a funny one.
The parents.
I made a shirt one time. And I made one to see if it would get a laugh. And the joke was, comics sell t-shirts to make money on the road. And I asked a friend of mine, how do you decide what's on your t-shirt? They said, well, just listen back to your act and whatever gets the biggest pop, the biggest reaction from the crowd, put that on a shirt. So I made a shirt that said, give it up for the wait staff. That was the joke. The biggest part of my act was giving up for the waitstaff. That's the bit. Yeah, that was the joke I was making. That's the best part of my act.
I like that.
But
that's a funny.
But it backfired because the third time I ever showed it, this girl in the front row goes, "Oh no, you were funny." And I'm like, "Oh, if I'm not so funny, this is ironic. Obviously, then it's not going to work." If there's any doubt this shirt's a joke, then I should not be selling the shirt. Get better at comedy before you try to sell an ironic shirt about how funny you were.
That's a funny rule. No, it's really not clear enough for the.
That's not, you know. Here's a rule. How long a set do you have to do before you're allowed to bring a beer on stage?
What do you mean? Oh, you have a minimum?
I mean, like if you're doing a 6-minute guest spot, you bring a drink up there?
No, I don't drink. No. No,
right. For me, I gotta. If I'm doing 50 minutes or more, I'll have a beer on stage because it helps the crowd. If you drink on stage, the crowd will drink more. It like helps the club make more money.
Sure,
like psychologically. But yeah, I'm not bringing a beer on stage for a 6-minute guest spot. That's my only.
I think the cutoff for bringing a drink at all, any kind of drink, is about 10 minutes. Because when I do Hermosa Comedy and Magic Club, those are 10-minute sets. That's just it's a little longer than you want with no drink, but it's so short when you really think about it. Like, just go and tell your jokes and get out of here.
Yeah, you don't need to set the stool up for 3 minutes when you only got 4 minutes. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. I remember way back in the day, we did auditions for Aspen, for HBO's Aspen thing, and they were 2-minute sets in the middle of the afternoon at the Punchline. There was like 100 comics hanging around doing 2 minutes, and we were kidding around about Ronnie Bullard was kind of famous for doing callbacks. We're like, do you think Ronnie gets a callback in 2 minutes?
There's bucket open mics out here in LA where you get 3 minutes of the improv or whatever, and it's amazing how many times, and you don't know, they'll pull your name out of a bucket, so you don't know when you're going up. You're like,
right,
next or whatever. So it's amazing how many guys will go up on stage, comics go on stage, and like, they fucking hang their jacket on the stool. They fucking address them. I'm like, motherfucker, you had 3 minutes. Like, start the setup for your joke on the way up the stairs and hit the first punchline when you get to the mic. What are you doing? Adjusting your jacket.
I've seen that. Yes. Like, they do some kind of.
What am I going to talk? What else do I want to talk about? What do you mean? What else? You got 3 minutes. You should fucking have a plan. You fucking. What are you just riffing up there? You doing 3 minutes of crowd work?
It's 180 seconds. Get your shit together.
Yeah, like how hard a decision is this to make? You only have seven. Tell two of them. They test me, how long's Tim McLaughlin? You remember Tim McLaughlin from India? Tim McLaughlin. But anyway, they go, how long's Tim doing? I go, I don't think all of it. I think he's doing everything he's got. So however long that is. 8 minutes maybe he's got. If he has to do 12, he does some of the jokes twice.
Did you ever run into Roddy Bullard? Roddy's great. I think he's doing ships now. He was like the king of the South. He had a really thick, strong accent.
Yeah. I think I remember his name, but
I just started today. When I was waiting tables, I learned that phrase. I said it for like 2 years. I just started today.
There used to be a guy that would get on stage and he'd fucking get his shit all together and he'd like set his phone down and he'd take a drink, right? And then he'd just go, oh, you guys don't start working right when you get to your job either, do you?
Right, right. Yeah, I've seen that a few times.
Yeah.
Ronnie's best joke for me was penguins mate for life. You think just once one of them will go, honey, I swear to God, I thought that was you. It's mostly one-liners
right.
Like that.
That's he was good. Right.
He was good, man. He's a good comic.
He was, one-liner comics impressed me because I don't have that kind of bandwidth to remember 185 jokes.
I know, with no segues, there's no how do you even.
Did you forget number 183? I mean, like, I don't know.
The Geechee guy, Bullard's not really a one-liner guy, but he had some one-liners that I thought were really good.
Yeah, one-liners. I mean, you know, they're. My favorite one-liners is McComas's, where he goes, "Pregnant women are annoying, huh?" They're always like, oh, look how fat I'm getting. Like, you're not fat. You put another person inside of you and they got you pregnant.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. If you think it's over, it's not. You know, you think it's bad. You're like, oh, no, actually, it's got a double punch. They got you pregnant.
I think at that point you could say he, even now, right?
That's an oddly progressive joke.
Yeah,
I did. You know, it used to be being a comic, you had to worry about offending the right, you know, and now you got to offending the right and the left. You got to thread this weird needle. So like the punchline of the joke is fuck him, and the conservative's like, oh, he said fuck, and the liberal's like, oh, he said him. You're like, god damn it.
God damn it. Can't say god damn it.
Because you can't say god damn it because the people believe. Oh, definitely. I heard a podcast with David Spade and they were doing their podcast, and Jim Downey was the head writer, was talking about the 40th anniversary. They made a joke where they wanted to say bastards, and they couldn't say bastards, not because it was dirty, because it would offend people whose parents hadn't gotten married.
Oh, right. Wow.
God, now we're down to offending bastards.
I know, but I mean, these things ebb and flow, but broadly, we're moving the right direction. It's just,
I agree. No,
little corrections.
I always say the reason they change the words all the time is to see where the assholes are, right? So like, if you're, who's trying? Like, tell me what you want me to call you. I'll call you that. I don't care. It doesn't affect me any. Like, someone's like, I've been saying Chinaman. Okay, fucking stop it. Okay, don't do that anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we know where the dicks are, because the people are trying to give it a shot. But what am I supposed to say? I gotta say that. Because why do I care? I don't care what you don't want me to call you. We all have a specific thing we want called. It's our name. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Chinaman.
You'd be like, it's Kostaki, right? If someone says Bauer, I'm like, it's Bowers. Like, we all fucking are very specific about our name. So just let people call whatever they want to be called. You know?
All right, let's do.
Unless they have a cool shirt on. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back. Taps on the back.
This guy, Jared Goff, gets my kudos. He outdueled the Chargers 41-38. Another 300-yard game. Ho hum. No one blinks. No one talks about Jared Goff. He was like thrown away, right? He was like a salary dump. Swapped him with Stafford. The Rams got Stafford. The Lions got Goff and a first rounder and two third rounders, and had to pay Goff's salary. And now he's just like quietly going to cruise to an easy division win. The team is really good. No one, I mean, it's amazing. He's sort of quietly this like crazy superhero story. It's pretty cool. I'm rooting for Jared Goff. I like it. Where would you rank him if you had to rank current NFL quarterbacks?
I might put him sixth or seventh.
Oh, wow. That's way higher than I was thinking. But
I'm saying, again, to your point, though, he's crazy good. He just does his job. You know, he was, I mean, like, Jeff Fisher didn't do well with him, but then once he got in McVay, I think McVay taught him how to be a quarterback, and now he, you know, and it's one of those, his salary's not that great either, right? So that's one of those things where the reason they can have so many pieces is because the salary's not that big. But yeah, I give Goff, he's my fantasy quarterback. My team's name, you Goff to be kidding me, is my fantasy team name. So, I can't believe he's my fantasy quarterback. I wanted Burrow and someone stole him from me.
I can't believe the Lions are good. It's the first year in like 50 years the Lions are legit good.
Like actual good. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm rooting for Goff. I like Goff. Yeah, I like the Lions. But, you know, I've always said hating the Lions is like hating the Bengals. You know, it's just like it's like picking on disabled kids. It's just mean. You know, we've just been too bad for so long. Just let us have this. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
On some level, you know, it's like,
yeah.
That 6 months the Falcons were good. You know, I was rooting for them. You know,
they've had a few little blurbs, little you runs
guys,
at it.
Well, no, you guys do the thing. I've always asked, like, would you rather go to the Super Bowl once every 10 years and suck the rest of the time, or be pretty good but never go to the Super Bowl? Always.
Yeah, you'd much rather have the occasional bursts of good, right?
See, I'd rather win 11 games and never go to the Super Bowl every year because I was terrible Bengals for 20 years. I'd rather be good now and never go to the Super Bowl again. In this Burrow run than I would be.
But you did have that. Aren't the Bengals every once in a while, you guys, something comes together, you Boomer Esiason and go.
Yeah, I mean, every 20 years, we did it twice, then we did it 30 years later. I'm just saying that for me, I'd rather, instead of having one good season a year that we go or win. Now, if we won the Super Bowl, going's different. If we won it, would I trade that to be terrible for 9 years? Oof. I don't know. Maybe.
I would. I'd get my championship hat. I'm a championship eight ball jacket.
Yeah, I think the problem is once you win, you don't feel like you did anything. Like you, it's like, woo! All right, next year. Like you only celebrate for like 4 seconds before you're on to win two. Sports fans are very insatiable. I got taps. I did it this time. I got two taps for me.
All right.
Or kudos, which I'm whatever I am. One, I don't know how they did it, but I'm gonna give you a tap or kudos to the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how they beat the Ravens. How the fuck they pulled that off? They were losing the whole game. I can't believe they did it. Also, after missing an extra point and the only Brown, I thought for sure that's how the Browns were gonna lose that game, was by missing an extra point. So I'll give the Browns kudos. And then I gotta go Josh Dobbs, man. That guy is just, I really hope they win the Super Bowl. If the Bengals won the Super Bowl, I want the Vikings to win it with Josh Dobbs. Only because the Browns traded him away to keep Watson, and that makes me laugh so fucking hard that if he became the greatest quarterback in the league after the Browns gave up on him like a bunch of idiots.
And the teams who desperately need a quarterback, I'm looking at you, Falcons and Jets. We're like, nah, we're not trading for anybody. There was a kid who was cheap and available and right there.
Ritter. You guys have Ritter. Yeah. You're good. What are you talking about?
I watched him this weekend live.
You still think Drake London's good?
Drake London is top 15 wideouts in the league right now and might be top 10. And Kyle Pitts and Robinson are top five at their positions and just being underutilized.
I'll give you that. But I always pick one. There's always one rookie running back that's like a sleeper fantasy guy. I mean, you still have to get him in the first or early second round, but Bijan was my guy this year. He's not done very well for me on fantasy.
They just don't use him. That's weird how they don't use him. Why would you pick a running back eighth overall and just kind of
That first year Derrick Henry was on the Titans, remember that? And then they just ran that little guy all the time, their third down.
Yes, back. There was a couple of those years.
And there was like the last game of the season where he ran for like five touchdowns and 260 yards. So they finally gave him the ball.
They're finally okay.
It's him. What are you doing? Give it to the huge guy, not the little guy. Why are you giving the scat back? Every fucking it made no sense.
That's right. What was his name? Do you remember? D'Amico Ryan? It was one of those kind of guys.
That's the coach of the Texans. I think his name was not Derrick Henry, because that's how I heard it on my TV. Like, oh, here's another run for not Derrick Henry. Oh, they have not Derrick Henry again.
D'Amico Ryan's is a coach. And then they had the picture of the two of them together, and it was like a little kid and his big brother.
Yeah, like, it looked like Andrew Reid at the punt, pass, and kick when he was 10.
You ever see that? We got a peanut gallery that knows this stuff. Jerry, who was that? Look it up. What, Ron? Anybody? All right. I have the world's cheapest production staff.
Nice.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's do this.
Now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
All right, I was at the game, so this was in my head very much the whole time. Which comes first, a Kyler Murray trade or a Justin Fields trade? Now, let me give you the background information. Because I looked this up today because I want us to have the facts as we discussed. The Bears beat the Panthers on Thursday. The Bears have the Panthers' number one pick. The Panthers are currently 1-8. They have the worst record. So The Bears will get the Panthers' maybe number one overall pick and their own pick, and they suck too. They're 3-7.
Yeah.
Giants, Cardinals, and Patriots are 2-8. And then there's a whole bunch of like teams that have 3, 4, 5 wins. But the Giants, the Bears might have two of the top, almost certainly will have two of the top five picks and maybe the first overall.
There's a good chance that the Bears get Caleb Williams at number one and then Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 5 or 6, because the teams you're talking about are also going to take one of these amazing quarterbacks. There's what, 5 quarterbacks at the top of the draft? So
the early buzz is that Harrison's going to go 2-ish.
To the Bears, only after the Bears take
again. It's a long way away, but right now you'd have to guess Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Drake May. There's a few of these other guys who are sort of in the mix.
Who are those teams you just named? The Patriots taking a quarterback, right?
Yeah, they need one. The Cardinals do if they're going to trade Kyler. That's what I was wondering. Like, why are the Cardinals playing Kyler now? Are they playing him to show the world that he's still good for the trade, or are they playing him to find out if they want to keep him and then
trade
the pick?
I think they're playing him to see if they want to keep him. I mean, you already paid him. I mean, other than he plays too much Call of Duty and doesn't read the playbook, he's a hell of an athlete.
He's so twitchy and fun to watch, actually. Yeah.
I think he's better than Deshaun Watson by a bunch, I think.
I think so, too, yeah. I think Kyler, when he's on, I mean, he's easily top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Well, and we also have to think about injuries. Now, is he going to get hurt again? I don't know. But, like, if you look at, like, Baker Mayfield this year, he's finally – his shoulder's healed, and he's not complete garbage, you know. So sometimes when you get hurt, we don't – that's the thing they never talk about in the NFL is injuries are all that really matter. If your team stays healthy, you do well. If your team gets hurt, you're fucked. It's just how it works. And we just don't talk about it. You know what I mean? We just pretend that – next man up mentality. It's like, no, you can't be next man up from, the Bengals lost on Sunday because T. Higgins wasn't there. And the guy who replaces T. Higgins is not quite as good as T. Higgins. I mean, it's not, I mean, the year the Colts won the Super Bowl is when they had that one safety, whatever his name was, Fred, whatever the blah. And he was hurt every year. He was their Troy Polamalu. The one year he didn't get hurt, they won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it just takes one guy to stay healthy and, because you see these great quarterbacks. But anyway, so I think that the Bears are going to have, because who you said? You said the Patriots? Who else? The Cardinals could take Marvin Harrison Jr. if they decide they want Kyler Murray, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure.
So, and who? What was the third team you said was 2 and whatever?
Well, there's a few. Again, it's early yet, but right now the Panthers are in the driver's seat at 1-8. They're the only 1-8 team.
Their pick's gone. So,
but they don't have a pick. They trade it to the Bears.
Pick goes to the Bears, right? So then after that,
the next tier is Giants, Cards, Patriots are 2-8.
So, and the Giants,
Bears are 3. Bears,
the Giants, and the Patriots are going to take a quarterback for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so,
right? And the Cardinals.
I mean, the Giants are probably stuck with their contract for now. They're going to have to pay, unless they could do some crazy golf salary dump quarterback trade of some kind. I don't know. The Giants are probably stuck with their guy for another year or two.
Nah, I think it's not that much of a dead cap hit to get rid of him. I think Jones.
But the Patriots are. I mean, they're going to be very thirsty for a quarterback.
Right. And they didn't sign Mac Jones to a new deal, right? So they've got room and start the clock over the
room. I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds right. I think he's still on a rookie contract. He's not pricey and he's not panning out. They could move on from him, you know?
Yeah, pretty easily.
Right.
So anyway, but I'd be interested to see if the Bears got Caleb Williams and Robert Harrison Jr., that'd be impressive.
No kidding. But if they did that, then they're trading Justin Fields to the Falcons or something?
You think anybody would take Justin Fields?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think he's, I mean, especially in such a, you know, a market where the quarterback's play has been so bad at the bottom half of the range, you know, and then so many injuries and so many backups and so many teams.
That goes back to Jared Goff in that, like, other than Ryan Tannehill and Jared Goff, has there been anybody who's ever switched teams and wasn't – usually when the NFL gives up on you, it's for a reason.
I hear you.
You know what I mean, like, rarely when a team lets someone go are they good once they leave.
Well, I mean, Josh Dobbs has been let go by like seven teams in the last year and a half.
That's the Kurt Warner thing. That some people they're just stupid. I'm not saying that sometimes they aren't stupid. What I'm saying is, if you're a star and they put value on you, when they decide you don't have value anymore, they're usually right. You know, if you look like people are like, oh, why Dalvin Cook get cut? Because of this.
right. No, I hear you.
If he was going to be good, they'd have kept him, right? They know, like, broadly, when A.J. right. Green left the Bengals, they knew he was done. You know what I mean? Like, but, when all a team right, so releases a superstar, they're generally bad.
But take now, the shine. It's because there's a question mark. It doesn't mean they don't have capacities to be good. It's because there's a question mark. And if you can move on and have fewer question marks, you know, the Colts moved on from Peyton Manning because Andrew Luck was sitting there. So they were like, all right, he's got a neck issue. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't not take Andrew Luck. So they're like, all right, we're turning the page. And Peyton went and won a championship somewhere else. So it does happen. I mean, and Justin Fields is one of those guys that has a lot of question marks, but a very high ceiling. I mean, when he's good, he's really good. So my brother and I were talking about this, like, because he doesn't like Kyler Murray. He thinks he's kind of a dick, and you know, and I agree, but I'm so thirsty to get it's like I'm in the desert and I'm dying of thirst. Like, I will drink a dirty cup of water. Like, I need water, and I don't care if you're a dick right now. I mean, beggars can't be choosers. I would take a guy who has some attitude issues. That's fine.
I always say Bowers can't be choosers. That's what I always say. You know, I don't get a pick. I get what whoever likes me. That's how this works. So I get what you're saying. I mean, let me ask this. Here's a sneaky take. I think Justin Herbert isn't very good. I think he's Philip Rivers or Matt Ryan. I'm not saying he won't win some games. He doesn't have a good arm, but I'm just saying, I just don't think he has that killer instinct. I don't think he has what it takes. I don't think he's not Joe Burrow, right? He's Andy Dalton. You know, like there's sort of certain guys that win. There's certain guys that win. And so, I mean, I think I've told this a bunch of times, that I feel like there's guys play for three things. They play for rings, money, and pussy. And the greats make the money and pussy guys play for rings for a couple of years. That's what Brady did. That's what Burrow does. That's the key to, like, leadership, honestly, is taking these guys that don't really care if they win or not, because they're just gifted athletes and they're really fast and they make a lot of money and they drive a cool car and they get a bunch of chicks and they don't care about football. The guys that are like, no, I go to bed. Burrow goes to bed at 8 o'clock and make sure all the pussy guys play for rings. You know what I mean? Like, that's
I like it.
That's my theory. But I just don't think Herbert's that good. I just think he's just good enough for you to suck for 10 years. You know what I mean?
And think that is a team that is, like, mysteriously never been good, even though they've got good pieces every year, it seems like.
Yeah, I think the weather's too nice. There's no grit, you know. When you live in Pittsburgh, all you got's the football game, because the rest of your life sucks. When you live in San Diego, it's like, we lost, but hey, who cares? I'm living a pretty good San Diego life. We're fine.
They've moved to L.A. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. They moved to L.A. Same thing.
All right, so yeah. Kyler or Justin, who gets traded first? Because they're both going to get traded at some point.
I think the Cardinals are going to keep Kyler. I think Fields gets traded instantly. Like, he gets traded. I mean, I can't imagine anybody wants him, but I think he more gets released than traded. But do they pay Fields? Did he get an extension?
He's so young. He's probably I think he's on the rookie contract. This is only his second or
It's his fifth year. That's his
It's second or third year. This is his third year? No.
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, I would say I think he gets traded. Fields gets traded first. If I was going to pick a what happens, then what happens? I'd go Fields first. I think Kyler has more of a market. I think people would you'd get more stuff for Kyler.
Yeah. I mean, he was the number one overall pick at one point.
And he was, he was 8-0 leading the MVP race a couple years ago. I mean, he was.
Yeah, right. I mean, they were like 7-8-0 or something. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, and by the way, he was like, until it came out, that little clause in his contract saying he had to study more, that's the first chink in the armor. Everybody thought he was going to be amazing. And that one thing happened. I was like, oh, he's garbage. He doesn't read the playbook or whatever. You know, it was kind of weird how we all turned on him in 1 second.
Well, he did. Andreas pointed out, and he's. As time goes on, he's proven more and more right. If you watch an interview with him, he's not likable. He's kind of a prick. He's got attitude and he's...
Well, yeah, but he's also been fucking 5'8 his whole life and been in a room with monsters. Like, he's been the biggest pussy ever room he's been in since he was 10.
He might
have a little alpha male chip on his shoulder to try to prove him. He's like a chihuahua. You know, he's like those little dogs that like, have to bark at everybody because he's tiny.
I hear you. All right, I'll play contrarian. I think maybe Justin comes back and has a hell of a run, and then the Bears trade out some picks because they've proven that they're willing to trade out picks, get more picks for those. I'm telling you,
if they trade Bryce Young for Caleb Williams and all those, that'll be the best trade in the history of the NFL. Like if they can get Caleb Williams because they traded last year's number one pick,
right.
And Bryce Young, we can agree, is garbage, right?
Like he's well, it doesn't look good yet.
He's a tiny, tiny child. Like he's a
it's early yet, baby. But it does not look good.
But he's little. He's so little. You know,
CJ Stroud's not struggling. He's on a bad team too.
Yeah, but he's also not little, and he makes all the throws. He's not a runner. Like right. I mean, literally, like he was running around yesterday for 9 seconds at times, and then would find a guy 30 yards down the field. That's what Burrow does. When Burrow escapes, he doesn't like run for 3 yards and fall down like Bryce Young does. He fucking finds somebody 20 yards downfield, and that's what Stroud was doing. Stroud's a beast, dude. That guy's good.
Over and over again, I trust these guys who can shine under the brightest lights, and Stroud looks so good in his last game against Georgia. And, another one that did that didn't quite get the draft capital respect that I thought he earned was Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's playing these national championship games and these big-time bowl games, and he just looked great over and over and over again. And he sort of fell down. I forget where he went, but he was like 10th overall or something. And I thought the same thing about Justin Fields. He looked great in these big games. Like these are the kids you want to believe in, the ones who have these kind of like steel balls and don't care about the world around them.
Sure, but I will say that part of and this is where Stroud is surprisingly good is that the Ohio State quarterbacks, I mean, they'll never play with as good a receivers in the NFL as they had in college.
Yeah, they do. They have had a good run.
They'll never be behind a better offensive line than they'll have in college. Like when you play Ohio State quarterback, it's like being the feature, right? Like there's no check drop. The MC's already got the crowd figured out. Like
that's right.
It's the cradle. It's the easiest.
You don't have to warm them up. You don't have to close. There's no pressure. Right.
There's no pressure. They're gonna say you should have been the headliner, even if you're kind of funny. You only have to do 25 minutes. You don't have to like stretch out your legs. That's being Ohio State quarterback. Everything's there for you. You know what I mean? And you'll never have it that good ever again. And so when you go to the Texans or one of those teams like that, or the Bears, it's such a culture shock. You're like you go to the coach and you're like, something's weird's happened. I keep getting knocked down. No one's ever pushed me over before. When I played Ohio State, it never got to me. I don't know what's happening. Why are my offensive linemen terrible? It's like, oh, it's because we can't just recruit the best people of all time. So that's why Stroud's impressive. Cause he's good from Ohio. Cause Ohio State's never had a good quarterback ever. Right. I mean, in the NFL.
Boy, that's a good question.
There's never been one.
I can't think of one right off the top. No, In the old days, there were a couple of big names. Like, Art Schleister, wasn't he?
Art Schleister, but he wasn't good. He was a fucking journeyman guy. He was the one
with the gambling problem.
Yeah, he gambled a lot. Yeah, Art Schleister was a gambler. Dwayne Haskins died. I mean, like a lot of them are just bad. You know what I mean? Or dead. So the fact that like
Dwayne Haskins died. He was bad before that, just for the record.
Oh, yeah, no, he was on his third team when he got hit by a truck, but walking home from practice.
All right, let's do this one's a little bit of a stretch, but whatever.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
I'm still hungover too. I'm still exhausted. I had a great trip. Wisconsin was so good. The crowds were awesome. People were kind. Made a bunch of money. I sold koozies, hung out, traveled around. The producers were thrilled. The audiences were happy. It was just like, yeah. I wish they were all like such a pleasure like this. It was really good. Well, and then I went straight from that. I got up at 3:30 in the morning. I flew down to Phoenix. I landed at local time, like right about 9. And then I get over to the stadium and Andreas has got 12 pack and we're running around drinking again. And then I flew back last night. So I was like, got back to the airport and I was pretty drunk and really sleepy. And I'm like trying to write jokes.
Drink until the plane. That's my favorite thing. Drink until the plane.
Oof. So I just said, I love this trip that my brother and I have. So how many Falcons stadiums, how many Falcons away stadiums have we seen together in our new journey? What's
11. I'm going to go with 11.
Yeah, you're not too far off. We've done New York and LA, which we count as checking four teams there, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And we got San Fran and we did Tampa and we just did Phoenix. So, depending on how you count, we only have 24 left. 24 nice. Stadiums and teams and situations.
I'm not good at watching football live.
I love it. I don't want to do it every week.
I like watching television because when I watch it live, I get too drunk anyway because I tailgate and blah, 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 blah. And then I end up people watching the whole game. I don't watch any of the game. And when I do try to watch the game, I never know where the ball is. Like the camera guys on the TV are so much better. I always bite on the fake. Like you get me every time with the play action. I'm like, oh
when you're there live.
Oh shit. Ah, god damn it. That was the first down in Seattle. I never know where the ball is. I'm very bad at that. So I like watching on TV where that guy's real good at telling us where the ball is.
It is a sport that has been designed and honed and tweaked to be perfect for television. It's got right. these stopping points and there's a rhythm to it. And I mean, when you watch it live, it feels weird.
You watch the red zone, they'll have like four games going on at once, or there's the four box on your TV or whatever. And it's always like, oh god, it's so small. I can't believe we're watching this small box. But it's like, no, actually that used to be the size of my whole television. My whole television used to be that big. I can't believe we used to watch football on back in the day, like non HD 32 inch television. Like how the fuck did we see anything? You know what I mean?
I don't know
what happened to the Immaculate Reception. They had one camera. Like it's just fucking bananas.
It's still a mystery. Was it right? Or wasn't it?
Yeah, we don't know what happened. Great. We had the one camera and we got there late. So we don't know if we caught it or not.
Jerry says, when the Falcons play at Indy sometime, I got you. All right, cool, Jerry. Take you up on that. Now, I have been to many other stadiums. I've seen the Seahawks play and I've been to the Eagles stadium and went to a game in New Orleans once. And I've been to a bunch of in the old days, I used to go see the Buccaneers play in the Creamsicle era when I was in college down there. That was the legit Creamsicle era. They were terrible. Those tickets were super cheap always. And those games are hot as fuck, man. You go to a midday.
That's back in the Tampa games where you'd call and say, hey, what time's the game? And they'd say, what time can you get here?
Yeah, right. It's that was the era of the one of the greatest quotes of the history of sports when they asked they asked the coach how he felt about his team's execution. He said, I'm all for it.
I didn't remember that.
That was the Buccaneers. I think they went 0-12 or 0-14 or something, maybe as an expansion franchise. Anyway. So I've been to a bunch of stadiums over the years, but this new thing of trying to go where the Falcons are playing, we have to probably lay it out, figure out how the schedule works where they play a division and they play all the teams in the division. And
yeah,
is there a cycle to that? Is that predictable?
Yes.
How does it work?
aren't you the football guy? Yeah.
I don't know how this works.
The way it works is you play your division twice, obviously. Then you play one other division in your conference, and then you play one whole division in another conference. And then there are three extra games, and those games are the teams you didn't play in your conference, like that, whatever. So if you didn't play the AFC South, for instance, let's say, then you will play an AFC East and West team, but you play the team that was the same. So if you came in first in your division last year, you play the number one team from the other divisions in those two random games. So like if the Bills won the East, then we play the Bills. If we're not playing all of the East, we just play the best team because we won the division last year. If you come in third, then you play the third best team in the division. So you'd play the Jets or whatever. So that's why the schedule makes what we're talking about, where some teams can end up being miraculously good and win 11 games because they're playing the fourth team from the division and not the first team. Or the Bengals have a really hard schedule because we came in first last year.
I'm even more confused than I was before I asked you this question.
What do you mean? I'm saying it's not that hard.
What do you mean?
You don't? That was not a good explanation?
I don't know. It might have been. Maybe I'm just
saying. So if you're, AFC North, if you're the AFC North, you play the East, and then you play the AFC West or the NFC West or whatever, and that's plus your two division games. That's so six games in division, and then that's your 10-14, and then you have three extra games that are the – you play the division, whatever you finished. If you came in third, you play the third place team in the division that you're not playing all four of.
I'm going to look it up.
I don't know how to explain it any easier.
It's good to see you, Bowers. Thanks for doing this on no notice.
Hey, you know, I like getting up hungover on a Monday and talking to you. It's fun.
It's nice. It's nice. Where can people find you? How do we plug?
At Bowers Comedy, B-O-W-R-S Comedy. I'm doing a lot of Snapchat lately. So my Snapchat stories are pretty fun. It's just me getting drunk, wandering around the world. So follow me on Snapchat at Bowers Comedy. Yeah. And that's on Instagram and all that good stuff. If you're in LA, I've got the show this Thursday at the Ice House on the 16th, and then the 21st is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I'm doing Yamashiro.
Cool. I haven't done Yamashiro. And I haven't done the Ice House in a long time. These used to be
They just redid the Ice House. The guy from the Lakers bought it, I haven't been there yet, but I hear the new ones. They were going to shut down March of 2020 to remodel. They're going to be closed for 6 months, and then it worked out. It was the pandemic, but then they couldn't get permits through the whole pandemic, so they didn't even start working on the place till the pandemic was over, but apparently it's amazing now. So
brutal. If you're looking for me, go to Kostaki.com. I'm in Fargo, Sioux Falls, Ashtabula, Erie. And if you're listening to this, you're our people. Engage on the socials. Go to whatever your favorite social media platform is, Instagram or Facebook or whatever. The artist formerly known as Twitter. And like things and share things and comment and write jokes and whatever. We love you guys. Give us a review on Apple or whatever your platform is. And if you're interested in doing some fantasy gambling, it's fun. Underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code ALLPROLINES. They'll throw you an extra $100 to match your first deposit. So thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Bowers. And thank you guys for all the doings out there. I hope you get what you want in your football dreams. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Where's the music? There's music. We got music. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na